The Great Way. What is it? It is a place of solidarity that lives within us. It is the place where everything comes together within us. It is a place of consciousness, not duality, but consciousness. In consciousness, there is no duality. There's no pretense. And what Lao Tzu is trying to teach us here in number 18 is something very important. He says, when the great way is abandoned, benevolence and righteousness rise. We don't know what righteousness is. We live our life out of the confines of our genetics. We live from a part of our human nature that belies the whole idea of benevolence. It contradicts it. It is the pretense of it. If you look deeply, you will see your gender has a great deal to do with your sense of righteousness, and your ethnic background has a great deal to do with righteousness. So what Lao Tzu is saying to us here is, when we abandon the way, we are stuck with this argument between benevolence and righteousness, goodness and who deserves goodness. What is fair? What is right? When these rise in us, we are split. We are divided. We no longer have solidarity within us. We're no longer those people who can awaken. Awakening will be absolutely impossible. So what do? We argue. We fight. We use logic and reasoning. We try to understand everything from the premise of pretense, trying to make something that is not the truth to appear true. This is the way we live. And we are influenced by our genetics. Our ethnic background has a great deal to do with it, because linked to that ethnic background is our karma. You and I carry karma within our bodies. Our whole appearance in this world, entering into this world, is based on what we have done, what we have lived, what our intent was. We miss. What is true benevolence but the purity of the heart? No, not the human heart. The heart. And the reason we don't experience this heart very well or very much is only because of our pretense. We have spent a great deal of time downgrading ourselves, causing a great deal of difficulty in our life, trying to process this difficulty with pretense. So I start to look at my benevolence. How much good can I do? How much good can I give? How much good can I receive? Out of a sense of who deserves this righteousness, who deserves this kind of thing. This whole idea of deserving is a real problem with humankind, especially in our world today. We just don't really understand. It isn't a matter of deserving. Whoever is before us is within us. So we're not giving benevolence to someone else. The truth of the matter is, we're giving benevolence to ourselves, to our life. Forgiveness and mercy are the ultimate generosity of a human being because there is no pretense to it. I cannot forgive until I have a sense of totality of my part in anything. What is it about me that made all of this possible? Instead of looking for excuses, I must understand the way. And the way is simply very simple. Listen to Lhotse in the Tao. The way receives with gladness those who walk in its way. Abandonment will greet those who abandon it. If you understand that statement, then that will be our meditation for today. If you understand, if you abandon the way, then you will never gain, quote unquote, the benefits of the way. But those who accept the way of benevolence, the way of goodness, in the face of losing pride, find the Tao. Find the great life effort, the great pulse of living. When the way is abandoned, then we don't know what goodness is anymore. We only have our assumptions and our presumptions. We think good is anything that benefits me or you or someone else. We don't really understand. These things of the world don't matter. They're only tests that we go through, challenges we go through to bring us to benevolence. When will we have enough pain and sorrow to actually face the fact that we are the source of that pain and sorrow? How much more do we need before we realize the kind of person we are and what we have become? These little nuances in our life. I have a student who I've known for a long, long time. We all know about the assassination of what happened, where an influencer was assassinated in front of his audience. And my student said that he sought on the internet. Evidently, you can get anything on the internet. And he said, I know you want to see it. We were in a session. I said, no, I don't want to see it. Now, he doesn't understand that by watching this, he's gratifying that ancient old caveman mentality. This is why he is a carnivore. This is why we eat meat. We like killing. We are born naturally to be killers. To perpetuate that through entertainment or self-righteousness does great harm to us. Great, great harm. But we don't see it that way. We only see the gratifying aspect of it. When any one of us celebrates a tragedy, thinking that it was a righteous tragedy that furthered the benefits of others and ourselves, we have put ourselves in a precarious position in this world. And many, many difficulties will appear. You see, the way is about benevolence. It is about attaining to virtue, not righteousness. And until I am willing to understand that and go beyond my ideology that is based in the pretense of right and wrong, good and bad, well, we never overcame the whole idea of Hitler, Mussolini, and other great tragedies in this world. We never forgave it. We went into self-righteousness about it. And in doing so, we create more of these people. We kill good people, the Gandhis. We kill them. We kill people who are trying to do great good. Anwar Sadat was killed trying to change things for the good, for the benevolence. You know about Jack and Bobby and Dr. King, a beautiful man. We don't put up with this kind of kindness. To us, benevolence is righteousness, the righteousness to kill. We just don't understand. And when we do, we don't like it. As a whole, as a humanity, we just don't like it. There are many things I've tried to teach you you don't like because they're not gratifying. They don't seem right to you. They have no sense of righteousness. So there is a great deal of difficulty with what I teach you, what Jesus taught us, what the Buddha taught us, what the Tao teaches us. This pretense of righteousness is a very, very important thing to understand about us. It comes out of our instinct to be righteous, to find some sort of righteousness for the things we do that are so outrageously unkind and against the temperament of the way. The meaning of the way. But we have our, well, we have our excuses. We like to fool people. We like to make people think one thing about us while living in another way. Totally. We are hypocrites. I've told this story many times, but I love it. I just love it because it is so very true. And I see it as I sit in the counseling room with people. This is a great metaphor. There was a great emperor who was passing through a village. He was one of the most famous warriors of his day. And he was a great lover of archery. He loved the people who were perfect archers and sought to become perfect archers. Passing through the village, he saw on many trees and lampposts, garden fences, arrows, sticking exactly in the middle of the circle, exactly in the middle of the bullseye. So many arrows everywhere. He was shocked and surprised he had not heard about this. He asked the man, Who is this person? Who is such a person that is such a perfect archer? His aim is perfected. He never seems to miss, not a fragment of an inch. The arrow always goes exactly in the center. The target is the proof of it. He stopped his chariot and asked more people about this archer. Who is this man? They all laughed and said, don't be worried about him. He's crazy. He said, what do you mean he's crazy? How can he be mad when he seems to be the greatest archer ever? They said, oh, it has nothing to do with archery. He knows nothing about archery, dear king. The king said, well, then how does he manage this? They said, oh, it is very simple. First, he shoots the arrow at a tree, and then he goes and he paints a circle around it. voila. Yes, that's the way we do pretense. Just think of all the things you have thought were right about you, or right. They were a pretense. They came from a mind that is very confused. What do you and I know? I think about this all the time. Whatever made me think in my 20s I would know the wisdom of my 30s or my 40s or my 50s or my 60s, much less my 70s? My inner work has changed over the years. I have changed. I look back at some of the things that were essentials in my life, and I realize these essentials were not essential. They were passing clouds. They were urges. And most of the time, all we do is we live in the pretense of our urges, making them sound like they are rights. And here is where our righteousness comes from. Well, human rights say blah, blah, this and blah, blah, that. What was it? Lincoln said, all men are created equal. This is not true. None of this is true. It is a pretense. We all come with our karma. We all come from many a past life. We are not created equal. The beauty of us is those who don't choose to pretend to be the perfect archer have a chance to realize what true archery is all about. When I am no longer interested in what other people think of me, when I am more interested in the way rather than how to get what I want through the way, that is when things begin to change beyond my pretense. But this is very hard. I mean, to really sit down and realize how wrong, how unkind, how unfair I have been, even by my own standards. Would you want to be judged by your own standards? Would you want to live according to your own standards, what you thought was righteous and what was deserving? Well, we are. We do. I know many a person who thinks they're so very right. They have many things in the world, lots of money and such. But they miss. They're terribly unhappy. They have many, many problems that their money just can't change, or their standard or standing, even in society, will not change. We live in impermanence, and we simply don't really want to acknowledge that. Have you matured? Can you actually say right now as you sit and listen to me that you have matured past whatever it is that didn't allow you to appreciate the way, the teachings, even these discourses in the past? These are things you must realize for yourself. And if you realize that you've been like the man who stuck the arrow in the tree and then painted around it, that you lived by the pretense of righteousness, then you understand the means of the way and the things that you and I need to change. We need humility. It is only in our humility that we realize the way, the truth, and the light. So, as I said in the beginning of this offering to you, what I'd like to do with our meditation will revolve around this. The way receives with gladness those who walk in its way. Abandonment will greet those who abandon it. Now, I could give you the explanation for that, but that really wouldn't help you, would it? I want you to really sit with this, with me, in meditation. The way receives with gladness those who walk in its way. Abandonment will greet those who abandon.